cast your mind back, if you will, to your school days. Maybe it was a couple of years back, maybe 20, maybe 50. What did sex education look like when you were younger? Well, if it was anything like mine, it would have consisted of girls and boys being separated one afternoon, and the girls told about menstruation, and the boys told in very basic terms about how babies are made. Fast forward to 2017 and the advent of technology, accessibility of information, and where and when our kids are learning about sex, and not just the biology either, but sexuality, sexual identity, and how to keep themselves safe, not just physically, but emotionally too. When should we start talking to our kids about sex? And when we do, what are the conversations we should be having? For Family Matters this week, I'm joined by training manager Andrew Hawthorne from FAMSA Western Cape and Casey Black, registered HPCSA counsellor with a specialist interest in sexuality, gender, relationships, parent and trauma counselling. So to start with, let's go to Anthony. Anthony, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us on the line.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
So tell us, where does the responsibility lie then when it comes to teaching our kids about sex?
Well, I think the question I always ask is, who do you trust the most to teach your children the most important things in life?
Interesting. Okay. So does that mean that we're looking to ourselves as parents? Does it mean that we're looking to schools who presumably we would trust, or we wouldn't send our kids there?
Well, I can only speak for myself. As a parent of two children, I don't think I would trust anyone else but myself and my partner to teach my children those most important lessons of life.
Sure, sure. And when we talk about sex education, what are we talking about? Because as you would have just heard in the intro there, my experience of sex education at school was literally one afternoon when I think I was about 12, not even an afternoon, an hour in an afternoon, where, as I say, the boys and girls got separated. The boys got taken off and told, essentially, this is how to make babies, don't do it. And the girls, we were told about getting our periods.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, sex education has become so much more than that. You know, for some of us, the only sex education we ever got was attending biology classes, where I think there's such an opportunity to teach our children just to understand themselves, their bodies, their emotions. And for so many children, the realization that there comes a point in everyone's life where you need to determine your gender or your sexual identity.
Yeah.
And make that normal. Make that okay.
And certainly these were not the conversations. I mean, there was no concept when I was younger about being taught about gender identity, gender issues. The situation was very much from a very, very heteronormative perspective. And it was more to do, there was nothing to do with the emotion surrounding sex and sexuality, and all to do with the biology.
Well, absolutely. You know, and for those children who are heteronormal, well, that's great. But the immense anxiety for those children that are different, you know, we do them a disfavor by not saying, well, that's okay to explore that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We've had a message in on the WhatsApp line, Anthony, from Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for sending a message in. It says, my daughter asked me, how will I know I'm ready for sex? I blushed and didn't answer. How should one correctly answer this? Thank you, Kevin. Any suggestions, Anthony?
Absolutely, and I can relate to Kevin. I think that's the one thing that every father fears, is the day when their daughter asks them that question. I think the best way to approach that is to simply allow your daughter to have that conversation with you. It's about suppressing your own need to want to run away and just make it as normal as possible. And it's about turning it back to them and saying, does this feel right for you at this time in your life?
There we go, Kevin. Hopefully that's a tip there. I just wanted to ask, Anthony, I mean, you talk about, you know, you say that for you, you only want to hear this, you only want your children, or you want to be the one that's leading this conversation for your children, which that's great. For some parents, they actively will not want to have these conversations. And I think that's another problem that we come up against, is that there will be parents who think it's inappropriate to have the conversations. There'll be parents who don't think it's their job to have the conversations. There'll be parents who, let's face it, are embarrassed to have the conversations. So obviously, an element is taught. I understand that in life orientation classes at school, this is an issue. But in teaching, what can the relationship between school and home when it comes to teaching about sex education?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this touches on a larger issue, which is just so many of us were socialized to be awkward around sex and sexuality. You know, and I completely empathize with the parents who say, I just can't do that. And I think it's one thing not to be able to do it. It's another thing to say, I have no responsibility. Mm. And I think we just need to be aware, if we're not able to teach our children about sex and sexuality, that we are aware of what they are being taught in the school system.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had another message in. How should we go into as much detail as possible, such as what is an orgasm and different sexual acts? That's a really good question, because obviously, and I mentioned this again in the intro, I don't have children yet, but my concern would be that before I've had a chance to teach my children about sex and sexuality and sexual health and emotional health, that the internet has already, or somebody, you know, an iPhone in the playground has already given my child a miseducation around sex.
Well, there's a reality. Your child, whether you like it or not, is going to be learning about sex. I guess the only thing we can control is how accurate is what they're going to be learning.
Sure.
And, you know, you talk about how much detail to go into. You know, I've always advised parents, if you create the right environment, then allow yourself to be led by your child. If they feel safe, they will ask the questions. And it's about how we answer those questions. Are we awkward about it, or are we just clear and factual in our answer?
Yeah, yeah. In your experience, what is the best age to start talking about sex and sex education?
So, in my opinion, the moment that your child turns around and can identify that they have a penis or they have a vagina, it's time to start having that conversation.
Sure.
The conversation is age appropriate.
Can you give us some tips? Because obviously they're very, very young when they identify those things, whether they have a penis or a vagina or whatever. So how, and also, what's the language we should be using as parents? There is an argument to suggest that, you know, we shouldn't come up with little cutesy nicknames for our genitals, because it doesn't help anyone in the long run, that we should refer to our genitals by their scientific names. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. If we're trying to create cute names, is that just masking our own awkwardness? And that in itself sends a message to the child to say, this is something we don't really talk about. And when we do talk about it, we've got to come up with things that make us feel more comfortable or make it easier for us to have the conversation.
In your opinion, Anthony, before we let you go, what's the true measure of whether sex education has been effective or not? Is it that your child has not got pregnant before the age of 16, or is it that you've actually created a well-rounded, sensitive, emotionally balanced individual?
Absolutely. I think the key for me, you know, you're getting it right, if a child can have this conversation and not fall prey to the shame that so many teenagers feel about sex, sexuality, about their bodies. So you know, if you're sitting at the dinner table and your son or your daughter can openly ask you a question about sexuality and feel comfortable in that space, that you're getting something right.
Anthony, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show this afternoon. Thanks so much for your contribution this afternoon. That's Anthony Hawthorne, Training Manager at FAMSA Western Cape.
Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Welcome back. The time is 21 minutes past two, and we're talking sex education. When is the best time to talk to our children about sex? Whose responsibility is it? Is it something that we should be sharing with schools that our children attend? I'm joined on the line now by Casey Black, registered HPCSA worker with a focus on sexuality and gender. Casey, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Sarah Jane.
So you were listening in there. Tell us what your thoughts are on sex and sex education. And we've had a message in on the WhatsApp saying the major problem with the sex education is the lessons are too technical and moralistic. Also, I think parents should not talk to their kids about this because they're too emotional and invested. What are your thoughts?
I have so many thoughts. But before I go to that, I just want to say that I was nodding the entire time that Anthony was speaking. Everything he was saying, I was like, yes, yes, I agree. Specifically on the point that parents are key in a sex ed conversation, which links into that message about how the school-based sex ed is very technical and very moralistic. Mm. And I'd like to add incomplete.
Absolutely.
So for a variety of reasons. It's one of the only subjects, LO is the only subject, as far as I'm aware, that is not externally moderated, which means that the schools and teachers get to decide what content to focus on for the examinations and assessments, which therefore means that if the school believes that certain sex ed content is important or not so important, they get to make those decisions.
Do we know what's, I mean, I don't have children, so I'm not quite sure what's being taught in life orientation. But as I was saying before to Anthony, you know, my experience of sex education was 185 years ago and was largely a biological thing where we were told, you know, girls, that this is what's going to happen to you when you get to about 12 or 13 mm-hmm. or 14 or 15 or whatever, which we all do. Most of us had already started our periods. The boys were told how to make babies, and that was the end of it. There was absolutely no emotional support, certainly very moralistic, very, very moralistic, and very heteronormative.
So a couple of years ago, I did my master's thesis on sex education in the current situation. And I interviewed 18 first-year students who had matriculated the year before. And my results are not far from your experiences.
Wow.
Which is quite scary. What I can say is that there are some schools with the most fantastic sex ed. And some schools get fantastic organizations in to do sex ed in addition to the good work they're doing as well. It's very school-specific and very much based on the teacher's personal comfort with saying words like penis and vagina and vulva. And talking about contraception and sexuality outside of the reproductive frame, which is what makes it so heteronormative, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because not all sex results in pregnancy, but heterosexual sex does.
Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. We've had another message in on the SMS line saying, I believe the abstinence-only programs are dangerous, ineffective and accurate. They need to stop ASAP. That's from Petrus. Thanks, Petrus, for your message. Talk to us a little bit, if you will, about your particular focus, sexuality and gender. Because certainly when I was younger, and in fact, only recently it seems that these conversations that we should have been having, but we've been too scared to have, we've been embarrassed to have, we've been uneducated and ill-informed to have regarding gender issues and regarding sexuality and gender. How important is it? Because the kids today are so much more clued up than I was, certainly, however many years ago.
So as a registered counsellor, I do a lot of work in sexuality and gender, and there's a lot of people who at different stages of their lives come to realise that they may not be straight and they may not be cisgendered, and what does this mean for them, where they are and what their situations are. But what my primary focus when it comes to sex ed is actually educating parents how to have these conversations with their children in age-appropriate ways. So I've got a variety of workshops with different age groups, starting from nursery school all the way up to teenagers. So how do you have the conversations? How do you start the conversations? And I'm very focused on the emotional side and the boundaries and consent. So how do you know when someone's hand-holding is safe or unsafe?
Yeah.
How do you know when you don't feel comfortable, what words do you use when you don't have the words? Who can you talk to when you're uncomfortable? So what we often do in trying to protect our children is we say, if anyone touches you there, you must let me know.
Yeah.
But what if someone touches them somewhere that isn't there?
Absolutely.
But they're
right.
Uncomfortable. You haven't given them the opportunity to say, well, someone held my arm and I didn't like the way they held my arm. It felt inappropriate.
Yeah.
Which felt unsafe, it felt uncomfortable, because arms are part of the part that anyone can touch, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
So I do, it's a very cool, intensive workshop. It comes in different formats for different people's needs. But we literally start on, how do you talk about the body? How do you have a conversation about sex if you can't say anatomical words? What do the cute words do in silencing our children? in stopping them from talking about things and increasing their levels of probable shame when they do become sexually curious.
This is exactly what I want to speak to you about next. How do we, why, I mean, it seems obvious to me why we seem to be, and I say we, my age group and older, a generation of shame when it comes to sex. We are so shame-based. I mean, we are just carrying so much shame. How do we make sure that our future generations don't have the shame? And there seems to also be this throwback or this idea that unless you are carrying some sort of shame around sex, then you are going to be wildly promiscuous. You're likely to go and do things that you shouldn't be doing, having the types of sex you shouldn't be having. How do we stop that happening? How do we create children, young people who have a healthy appreciation of sex, sexuality, and their bodies?
Well, we start talking about the fact that we're uncomfortable,
yeah,
and that we've got shame that we don't want to be passed on. I often say to the parents that come to my workshops, these conversations are going to be more awkward for you than for your children because you're expecting it to be awkward. Also, children already know whether or not you've had conversations about bodies or sexualities or whatever it entails those, because it's not just a sex talk. If you jump in at the sex talk, you've missed a whole variety of opportunities around safety, around identity, around who they are and what they think is right and not right.
Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
Okay. We've had another message on the WhatsApp, but I agree, Casey. Nice segment. Sex education neglects to mention desire, agency or consent. That is so true. Certainly at no point during my sex education was desire talked about. The thought that sex might be pleasurable and that was okay was completely off the table. But again, it's to do with age-appropriate conversations, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I remembered my thoughts. So I'll come back to that.
Okay.
And then I'll go to the pleasure thing.
Sure.
So my thought is, how do you know what's appropriate to talk to your kids about when they're asking you questions that seem inappropriate?
Mm.
You ask them, what do you think, honey? You find out what information it is that they're looking for. The fact that they're asking you the question is amazing. It means they consider you safe enough to ask the question.
Yeah.
So many children aren't asking the questions because they're terrified of the punishment they'll receive for having sexuality information,
even
on a very theoretical level. And for most children, it is theoretical.
Casey, in 30 seconds, tell us about sum up for us what your thoughts are. If somebody's just tuned in and they want to have 20 seconds of advice from Casey about talking to their kids about sex, go.
All right. Start with, what do you think, honey, when they ask you questions that make you uncomfortable? Find out what information your children have so that you know what kind of information you have to provide to make it accurate. Don't do the, where did you get that information from? Because you'll never get a conversation again. Have lots of little conversations. When the word rape comes up on the radio or on the TV, ask them what it means. They know about rape and they know about all these bad words long before they know about pleasure and sex. The reason we feel shame about talking about these things is because pleasure was silenced and still continues to be silenced. And if it's silent, then you can't talk about it. And if you're having it, something must be wrong with you.
Casey, I'm going to have to silence you there, which is unfortunate, but thank you so much. Casey Black, registered HPCSA worker, who's focusing on sexuality and gender. Thank you so much.